2 hours down, two to go on Thursday. Corey Curtis with Kayla Anderson sitting in for Darren and Donick. Willie is at the College World Series. Darren is on Debauchery Tour 2019 with Chase McCabe. And so we are sitting in for another hour and 56 minutes here today, and we're back again tomorrow. Tonight, of course, is the NBA Draft. And it is a huge night in Knoxville with not one, not two, but three volunteers, all with the possibility of coming off the board. For that and more on that, we bring in Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, thanks for joining us, and how excited is Knoxville over this draft tonight?
Yeah, I think certainly very excited, just kind of carrying over probably the excitement from last basketball season, and now seeing guys that they really latched onto for the past 3 or 4 years getting their next level chances.
Well, Grant Williams, of course, we start with him, the two-time SEC Player of the Year. We all understand why he came out, probably can't build up his draft status anymore. Do you think he's a lock for the first round? And what are two or three teams you think are the right fit for him?
Yeah, you know, I think When I was looking at Grant's decision, I think it kind of probably did boil down to whether or not he felt like he was going in the late first round or not. So when he confidently was like, I'm gone, I think that to me kind of said he got some teams in the late first round that said, yeah. And that's where he's probably going to see his name called tonight. I thought Utah was a potential fit, but they traded away that pick last night to Memphis. So that's kind of off the radar now. I know Portland's been a common team that he's been linked to. Just is a nice piece there, but I think what's nice for Grant is if he falls into that range of 23 to 30, he's probably going to a good team that has a role for him right away, opposed to him having to maybe play out of his element right away on a not-so-good team.
I think I've seen him linked to San Antonio as well. Have you seen that?
Of course. I mean, San Antonio for either him or Admiral, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
That whole culture fit that goes on there, I think both of them would thrive there.
Now, you brought up Admiral as well. He is the guy who I've seen the greatest disparity in where he's going. I've seen him going as high as like 20, and I've seen him out of the draft completely.
Yeah, I think generally it's kind of been like 25 to 45, I think, where I've seen most of the major mocks have him. But he's just an interesting guy where people kind of know what he's capable of. I think they know he can shoot the ball, know he can score the ball. They're not sure on his ball handling. They think he can play defense. So I think teams know that they've got a 3-and-D guy no matter what. But in that 30-40 range right now seems like where Admiral's going to hear his name called.
What is it with Admiral that if you were a team and you're kind of on, you don't know if you want to do that or not, what is the thing that maybe does worry you about Admiral?
I think it is just the ball handling element. I think the shooting's proven enough. He ranks highly in Tennessee history in terms of three-point shooting, and really rounded out his game in that area the past 2 years, but not necessarily the best at creating his own shot, which, honestly, I don't know if he's going to be asked to do that a lot at the next level anyway. So I think he's going to fit well for a team that just wants a shooter who can kind of guard three or four positions as well.
And can you see we all know Admiral and his personality and in just what he is like off the court. Can you see a team just really kind of seeing him overall on and off the court and falling in love with a guy like this?
Yeah, I think that bodes for well for both him and Grant. I think they're guys that probably went into those interviews, and you see the clips from the post-media sessions where Admiral's in Portland talking about how much he loved the tap water and the trees. And
never seen so many pine trees in his life.
I know. It must not have gotten outside of Knoxville much. But yeah, I mean, you kind of hear that, and I think teams are probably enamored with that, just saying, okay, well, can slide that on in, be a positive influence on the whole locker room right away.
Now, both of those guys, to me, are role players in the NBA. Is that discounting them too much?
I think early on that's what you expect, because I mean, both are such proven good players at the college level, but neither is just this surefire NBA starter day one type. So I think they both fall into that role player category right away.
Now, having said that, and the guy who's expected to go third among them is Jordan Bone, and I think he could develop into a really nice player in the NBA.
I agree. About mid-season this year, I started thinking he's probably the best pro prospect they had last season. And I thought it was really wise for him to come out. I think it's tough because he's still kind of projected in the late second round. But I understand why he left. I think he's kind of shown what he can be. He went to the combine and tested off the charts athletically, which to me was a given. I mean, everyone's watched him, who's seen him, knows how fast he is and how athletic he is. So I think a team's going to see his ability and assume they can round out his shooting and get him to be that consistent point guard that Rick Barnes has hammered into him about being for the past 3 years.
Now, did he come out because he's been told he's going to be drafted somewhere, or he was just ready to go?
I honestly haven't talked to Jordan to know that. My viewpoint of him is he kind of had the season he wanted to have and mm-hmm. probably wasn't sure about what he could improve in his stock next season. And he played a lot of minutes last year, too, and I think that adds up as well. Like, mm-hmm. to some extent, being a point guard like that is like being a running back in football, and you kind of jump out when you can before you take more beating.
Last year was a year where he felt like he could kind of come out of his shell, but, you know, I'm sure that there's parts of his game that he still wants to develop. What's the most underrated part of his game, maybe?
Gosh, I think he's a better shooter than people give him credit for. I thought uh-huh. the thing he excelled at last year was just understanding the pace of the game, especially maybe January, February range, of getting out in transition, getting to the elbow, and making a jumper. Mm-hmm. I do think he's a better shooter than his stats showed. Needs to probably clean up his shot. But, yeah, I mean, that's been the knock on him, it seems like, through this process, his decision-making and his shot. But I think he's got a good enough shot to be a consistent shooter at the next level.
Do you think he's the third-best point guard in this draft?
Oof. That's tough. There's a lot in that second tier. I mean,
yeah.
White from North Carolina is probably that third-best guy right now.
I thought he was
Morant and Garland.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't. I keep forgetting about Morant. So would he be the fourth best? I keep thinking about Garland and White. So would he be the next after Garland and White?
I don't think he's going to be in terms of draft selection, but I think in a few years down the road, if he's a guy that excels probably on a two-way contract to start, that he could play his way into a consistent role in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of mocks with him going 57 to the Pelicans. So somebody's talking there that the Pelicans like him. And for me...
Yeah, the Raptors right there, too, have been a common one I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the Pelicans is a great fit, though, because they've got a guy, but then they've also bringing in Lonzo Ball, and he can be better than Lonzo Ball. I mean, he could shoot the basketball, which automatically moves him ahead of Lonzo Ball, but he doesn't have to be the guy day one. And it could give him a year or two to develop to become the guy. I think New Orleans, with the high-voltage guy like Zion coming in, that's a good fit for him as well.
See, I'm going to pivot. I like the idea of a Toronto-type team for him, where they've got a Kyle Lowry and a veteran who Bone can go in and learn from and study from right away. Like, to me, that's the best fit for him. Is somewhere where he can learn, because the odds are he'll be on a two-way G League / NBA deal next year. But having that veteran point guard to kind of teach him the consistency and the ins and outs of the NBA offense and the spacing, I think that's where he could really take off and become a guy.
And I think Corey and I were discussing this, and you said you thought it was a good idea that he came out, but we also discussed, you know, maybe he could have benefited a little bit from having another year under his belt, but he could still do that, right, under a guy like Lowry or somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the reality of making a decision like that. Where
sure.
You say, okay, maybe I've maxed out my skills at the college level. If I've got to improve my shot, I can get paid while I'm doing that. And
yeah.
I don't know if that was what Jordan decided, but I understand that thinking of maybe there's nothing else I can do to improve myself here, so maybe my best bet is going off to the next level and rounding out my game there.
All right, Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Before we let you go, I want you to take a stab at, you don't have to give me the exact pick, but just give me like a range for these three guys. Where do they go tonight? You know, I'm just saying within three or four picks.
All three will get picked between 1 and 60. No,
that's a good start. Yeah, let's narrow it down a little closer.
Don't want to give too many hot takes there. But, yeah, I think Grant is a guy that's going to hear his name called in the late first round. I would be surprised if he falls maybe below the 35 range into the second round. I do think Admiral's going to go 35 to 40. And I think Bone's a guy that one of the teams he's worked out for decides they love him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And will take him maybe a little higher than he's projected to go.
That's the talk.
I
keep hearing
like
the same people say that.
52 range.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that's Jordan Bone.
All right. Well, it'll be an exciting night to have three Tennessee Volunteers all come off the board in the same night. And, of course, we've also got Darius Garland here in town and Dylan Windler here in town. So we're all really looking forward to the NBA draft, which, you know, we don't always get to say. So it's a lot of fun.
Especially for Tennessee. It's been a while since there's kind of been this excitement around the guys that could go.
Yeah.
Who would have known the best thing that could have ever happened was hiring Donnie Tindall so that they could fire him and then get Rick Barnes. All right, Mike Wilson, thank you much. I know you got a busy night ahead. Enjoy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. So a lot of talk there about those Tennessee guys. And you know, he talked about it as well. You know, if you're an NBA team, they're all safe because they're all really good dudes.
Yep.
Every single one of them.
That goes to say, you know, the guys that Rick obviously brings there. So,
by the way, Admiral Schofield is going to the Chicago Bulls in round
two.
Oh,
really?
Chicago Bulls.
I love how Corey just is trying to get these Tennessee Flyers.
Just write it down. He's going to the
Chicago. Okay.
He's going to the Chicago.
So now we're
Bulls.
Garland and now Admiral. Now,
if the Bulls could get Garland and Admiral, the Bulls would have to trade up to get Garland. So I don't think it's going to necessarily happen. But we'll see. But I've seen a lot of mocks with Admiral going to the Bulls in round two. He's from Chicago.
Well, I hope you get one of them, Cora.
He's got range, and he's got really long arms, so he can shoot over the top of people. So I kind of like that as well. What do we got coming up on deck? Well, we're going to talk more about the NBA draft, more about Jordan Bone. And we actually talked to his personal coach yesterday, Jamal Richardson.
Yes.
And so we could talk a little bit about what he had to say about him and Darius Garland as well. When we return on Darren and Donna, Corey Curtis, Kayla Anderson from News 2 sitting in. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Money in the Music City. Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson from News 2. Counting down to the NBA draft. 6 hours, 40 minutes to go. And the New Orleans Pelicans are on the clock. Coming up, we're going to talk with Andrew Doak from WWL-TV, Channel 4 in New Orleans. They have the first overall pick. They, of course, will take Zion Williamson. And looks like they'll be picking fourth as well, unless they make another trade. Now, ESPN 94.9, Game 2. Is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC takes on the Ottawa Fury FC at First Tennessee Park. Pre-game begins at 6:45 with kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. So, we're talking Pelicans when we come back in the next segment, but in this segment, we're going to continue talking about the Tennessee Volunteers. And what I threw to you in the break was this. We keep talking about these Tennessee guys. We keep talking about where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. We agree it's going to go Williams, Schofield, Bone. But we think Bone is the best NBA prospect of the three.
We think Bone has the most upside. So it, and we were talking about how just this has become such a guard league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what Bone can do. I mean, look what he did in the combine. I think that's what really just teams were like in awe of the speed.
Well, I mean, but he beat Westbrook's speed and he beat somebody else's jump and it was pretty impressive.
And so he kind of got his name out there even more. Now it's just a team wanting to just take, I'm not going to say take a chance, Corey, but if he goes a little higher, maybe, to develop him just a little bit more behind maybe another guard that has a little bit more experience. But I think he could have the most upside out of these balls.
Yeah, and because of that, we expect him to go higher than 57, where he's been projected to go at the end of the second round to New Orleans. So, I mean,
I think he's going to go above that.
Do you think there's any chance that he goes in round one?
No, I'm not gonna go that far.
No,
I'm gonna say earlier. I just think there's other guys out there that you don't really have to take a little bit of a chance on. With him, I still think there are those inconsistencies because he didn't have so much consistency in college. He had that really good year last year, right?
Yeah, he was building.
And
Rick Barnes is a developer of talent.
Yes, but I will say this about Jordan as well. We know we've gotten to know his family pretty well, and this kid eats, breathes, and sleeps basketball.
Yeah.
So you know if you're getting a player like Jordan Bone, you're getting a player who is going to give everything he's got. to whatever team he's going to. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is you're going to see that out of this guy.
Would you be stunned if he went in round one?
I don't think I'd be stunned. Oops. That was my phone, by the way. That's what I thought, she said. Siri said, that's what I thought. No, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be, like, stunned.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to. I think he'll go mid-second round.
Yeah, so, like, say maybe my Chicago Bulls don't get a point guard.
Here he goes.
At seven. Or here he goes. Maybe they trade back into the first round, like at 28, 29, to take a Jordan Bone to make sure that they get him. Because they don't pick again until, like, 36, 37.
But that goes back to what Mike was saying. Mike said he could see a team wanting to do that. So, yeah, that's why I wouldn't be stunned.
I'm building the case to get Jordan in round one.
I could see that.
How does that sound? Marquise, you think I got any shot of it happening?
No. Unfortunately. I think he's good, but there's just way too many point guards in this draft. I can see Tremont Waters from LSU going in this draft before Jordan.
Carson Edwards from
Carson
Purdue.
Carson Edwards, for sure.
You know, he was a great shooter, but that is a funky-looking shot.
It is.
It's funky. I mean, I don't like
he's
it.
Fun to, he was fun to watch, though.
He is fun to watch, but again, at the NBA level, which one do I like better? I like Jordan Bone.
Mm-hmm.
So we wait and see. Now, we talked yesterday with Jamal Richardson.
Yeah.
You know who Jamal Richardson is?
Yes.
Okay. He's a local basketball coach. Him and his cousin,
Spencer
Richardson. Mm-hmm. They individually coach players. They worked with Brandon Wright. They worked with Covington from TSU before he came out, and they've worked with Jordan Bone since he was a youngster, and they've worked with Darius Garland since the seventh grade.
Yep.
And so we've gotten to talk to him a little bit yesterday, and you know he's extremely high on both of these guys,
mm-hmm.
and you know I think it says a lot for him and his cousin and how they've helped these guys really develop.
Yeah, I love that because as we're seeing in this draft, the Tennessee connections, it's good to see basketball really mm-hmm. on the map right now in Tennessee, and these guys, especially just locally grown guys that are able to. They love the basketball. They weren't able to do it at the pro level, so now they're doing it. They're trying to help develop these younger players. And right here in Tennessee, and I believe both of them are at the draft tonight.
And this is the
with
first
Darius.
Time.
This is the first time out of those other guys that they've helped train.
You know what's funny is like Belichick, mm-hmm. Not much of a player.
Right.
And we see more and more of these guys who, I've never heard of him. Before he became a coach. And Jamal played at Maplewood and then went to...
I covered him, Corey.
At Auburn Montgomery.
Yeah.
Not Auburn, Auburn Montgomery. And it's, and I guess what I'm getting at is when you're a good coach, you can get people to respect you for your coaching ability. Because look, Darius could say, you played at Auburn Montgomery. What do you know?
Absolutely.
But he's worked with him from seventh grade, respected what he had to say, and they've worked and worked and worked. And now he's top five pick in the NBA draft. And my point is good coaches are good coaches. They don't have to be good players to be great coaches.
If you have a coaching mind
and the ability to teach.
Yeah, and the ability to teach and the patience, you can develop into being that type of a coach. I thoroughly believe that. I don't think you have to be a player, a former player. These guys are doing some good stuff with these players. And obviously, these players think that they're gaining something out of it. Because they've stuck with these guys
for a long time. I mean, Winston Garland is Darius's dad, and he played 7 years in the NBA.
Yeah.
If he wasn't happy with the coaching, he would have moved on, and he stayed. He stayed the whole time at BA, and he stayed the whole time with Jamal Spencer. What's his cousin's name?
Jamal and Spencer Richardson. Yeah.
Spencer. Okay. Yes. I apologize to Spencer if he was here, but he's in New York for the draft. I congratulate them both, and that's just been a neat story to see how that all unfolds. But the NBA draft is tonight at 7 o'clock, and we will all be watching and to see what fireworks are launched and where everybody winds up. So we will see.
I had to say real quick, I was talking to you, this is the most exciting NBA draft. You guys are going to laugh at me because I'm from Spokane and I grew up with Adam Morrison. And I remember the last NBA draft that I was this pumped about was to see where Adam Morrison went. Now we all know that he was a big flop in the NBA, but
Now, I mean, he does have championships, though.
He does.
He was wearing a suit half of the time when they went to the championships, but he did win a championship.
Juwan Howard wore a suit to $150 million career dollars.
That's
so
true.
And a head coaching job, so yeah, good job to him.
That's true.
You know, I'm old, but look, I remember when the NBA draft was the NBA draft.
Yeah.
But, you know, before when they had the three-year rule, mm-hmm. and so, you know,
you
Larry Bird
guys.
And Magic and Mark Aguirre and all these guys would have to stay for 3 and 4 years, you knew who every player was coming out of the draft. And, I mean, you didn't just know who the lottery picks were. You knew who 17 was and 26 was. You knew who 43 was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there weren't the Euros coming in either. And so to me, the NBA draft was a lot more exciting then. And it's why I put the NFL draft at the top.
Because you know these guys.
We all know who the players are in the NFL draft. I mean, really, for like the first three rounds, just about.
Marquise is going to argue with you.
No, he's
I mean,
nodding.
I'll let him go.
No, as far as like fireworks, the NBA has the most fireworks, but there are so many salary dumps and, you know, things that happen in the draft that really have nothing to do with the draft. And there's so much projecting in the NBA as opposed to the NFL. I think that's where there's a difference as well. Like I've said, for a decade, people were trying to draft the next Dirk. Mm-hmm. So if a guy was over 6'9 and from Europe and had any perimeter game at all, he was the next Dirk. Well, there's one Dirk, and there's still one Dirk. Now there's Markkanen in Chicago, and then there's, what's his name in Dallas?
Luka Doncic. Doncic.
No. Well, Luka Doncic, but the other
Porzingis.
Guy. Porzingis.
Porzingis, yeah.
You know, and those guys have shown some promise, but Dirk's a Hall of Famer, and none of those guys are Hall of Famers yet. So I believe in taking players and not projects. And
okay.
Back in the day, they took players because they
But don't you like to watch a project build up into, like, I'll use Jimmy Butler, for example, even yeah. Kawhi Leonard.
But Jimmy Butler was a second-round pick.
But those guys were projects going into
yeah.
the league.
They were.
And now, look, we're talking about Kawhi yeah. Leonard possibly being one of the best players in the league currently. So
Kawhi was pretty good in college.
I mean, he was good at San Diego State.
Yeah.
But, I mean, offensively, he wasn't what he is today.
No. These guys develop. And look, I'm all about some development, but listen, you know, and look, there was a time when guys came out of high school and none of them were ready. I mean, Kobe wasn't ready. Jermaine O'Neal wasn't ready. I mean, these were the pioneers of guys coming in. But now you got guys, I mean, they're just about ready. I mean, their bodies are ready. It's a different NBA game, and their preparation for it begins earlier. And
yeah.
so they're more prepared for it. So that's very interesting. Coming up next, Andrew Doak from WWL in New Orleans. We're going to talk about the Pelicans, that top pick, the fourth pick, and what they may do with that, because that could have an impact on Darius Garland. That's next on Darren and Donick. You're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis, Kayla Anderson in for Darren Donick. Today, Thursday. What's the date? June 20.
Yeah.
June 20. Night of the NBA draft. The eve of the NHL draft. Both exciting.
But it's summer and there's nothing going on, Corey.
There's nothing going on. Nothing at all. The NBA draft tonight going to have plenty of fireworks. Of course, there'll be about a billion trades. One trade we do not expect to see is with the very first pick of the draft. We all expect to see the New Orleans Pelicans take Zion Williamson from Duke. For more on that, we bring in Andrew Doak from WWL-TV Channel 4 in New Orleans. Andrew, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. If Pelicans trade away the number one pick, we need to get some crazy pills sent over
yeah.
right?
to yep. the Pelicans facility ASAP.
You know what? It's amazing. When you trade away an all-NBA player in Anthony Davis, you know, you would think it would be like a time for mourning. But when you look at the reboot this Pelicans team is about to pull off,
mm-hmm.
it's really exciting, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I think everyone kind of went through these weird stages of mourning almost. Like when Anthony Davis announced that, you know, publicly requested a trade, which of course he denied at first, but everybody knew that he and Clutch Sports did it. It was almost like the city was like, we understand, we kind of wasted your talent, we get it. But then once he denied it, it was like everybody kind of turned on him. And then once you get this number one pick, it's like, wow, we kind of rebooted and karma kind of almost went the New Orleans Pelicans way. And now we have this, you know, opportunity to be able to do it correctly and be able to build a foundation that hopefully in their case can help, you know, bring them a legitimate franchise for the next half decade or maybe even more.
Has there been any talk whatsoever about teams approaching the Pelicans for that pick?
For the number one pick?
Yeah.
Oh, not that I've heard at all. Yeah. I mean, what would you have to give up to be able to land that number one pick? I mean, maybe your whole team.
Lifetime.
I mean, look, there are teams like the Knicks out there. That's just reality.
Full of James Dolan, but what has he got to offer? That's kind of
the keys to Madison Square Garden. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you bring up an interesting point because you said that pick. Because the fourth pick, they could roll that into even more picks, couldn't they?
No question about it. And to be honest with you, not that it's taken – actually, I take that back. It's taken a little bit of shine off of the number one pick because, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that the Pelicans are going to take Zion Williamson. We've known that as soon as they landed the number one pick, and that's why the Pels actually sold 2,500 season tickets the night that they landed the number one pick. So people in New Orleans are excited to see him. But because of that, now it's like the big question is, what do we do with this number four pick? Because, you know, that was the most crucial piece in my mind that the Pelicans got back from the Lakers in that trade. And I can see them literally doing a number of things with it, and whether it's trading up, trading back, making a pick tonight that they keep, or maybe even making a pick that they plan to dish. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to come all the way down to the wire, and then depending on who they take, even extend beyond, because this number four pick is the most movable asset that they have right now in the short term.
Well, listen, they've got the opportunity to add an elite point guard talent in either Darius Garland or Coby White. Why wouldn't they do that?
I think they really like Lonzo Ball. And I,
wow.
Like, I'm not 100%
okay, you're talking to the wrong guy.
No, I'm telling you. I'm as surprised as anyone about it, but I know that Alvin Gentry really likes Lonzo Ball. That was one of the guys that in this trade, they laughed at anyone. Now,
I just returned my season tickets, okay? I just returned them.
Well, I think they realized his shot is a little janky. It's got a lot of improvement that's needed, but they like his defense. They like his court vision. I don't know if they're going to like what comes with his father and kind of the circus that follows him around that apparently is not going to be on ESPN anymore as far as the reports yesterday were concerned. But the Pelicans really seem to like Lonzo Ball and the prospect that they believe he can grow into being. I think if any player could be involved in if they decide to trade this number four pick, I think it's Brandon Ingram would be the first up out of the assets that they got from this Lakers deal. I think Brandon Ingram looks like, you know, he has some talent and some upside, but he also needs to eat like 10 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like po'boys a day to be able to gain some weight.
He's in the right town.
He is, I know. So, I mean, he could pack on some weight pretty quick. Who knows? I mean, I gained like 15 pounds as soon as I moved to New Orleans in the first week.
That's true. I visited there a while back, and I gained 15 pounds in like 2 days. But, Andrew, has there been any talk of Darius, you know, going there and maybe being just the weapons that you could see with him and Zion? I know that he had the injury and a lot of people look at that. I know he's also represented by Clutch Sports, which has been talked to of, you know, maybe stay away from that.
Well, I would say this, to take it a little bit different direction, if the Pelicans are interested, in my opinion, in moving this pick but selecting a player in the process, and seeing what the field looks like, you know, who the takers are after, I would take Darius Garland because I think he would probably be the best player available. We'll see how it shakes out. But based on who we think the top three are going to be, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, and R.J. Barrett going in that order, I would take Darius Garland at four because I think had he not gotten hurt, you know, he was going to be the best point guard in the country. If I were to take Darius Garland, then I would be looking to move him. And I think, you know, the Pelicans, I believe, would feel comfortable with Lonzo Ball and then maybe Elfrid Payton, who is a free agent, but he's also one of New Orleans' own. I think they would like him either in a starting role or off the bench if they get a healthy season out of him. But if they were to keep the pick, I think they might go with DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia because I think that's a guy who especially me watching him, you know, for an extended period of time during the NCAA tournament, that I really, really liked as an elite defender and a scorer who I think needs some polish to his offensive game, but definitely has huge upside.
And I think that's next level thinking right there, Andrew, drafting him to trade him, and I think it makes a lot of sense because there are a lot of teams who want him from what we've understood, the Timberwolves, the Bulls, the Celtics. The Celtics certainly have movable pieces that could help the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, we've got another local guy in Jordan Bone from Brentwood, Tennessee here, right around Nashville, who played it at Tennessee as well. I've seen a lot of mocks have him going to the Pelicans at 57.
And I would really like that pick. Honestly, Tennessee has a lot of guys who I think in the second round I think could be some steals. I mean, Admiral Schofield, when I watched him, and Jordan Bone, like both those, they came to LSU and played them in Baton Rouge. Like, that whole team was just a veteran group with savvy basketball players who I thought could certainly contribute to NBA teams. So I think if the Pelicans got him with a late second-round pick, I think he would be an absolute steal in this draft that, you know, could be a piece on an NBA team who maybe isn't, like, a major contributor right away, but he's going to give you solid points in production every night and while helping you lead an offense. So, I mean, if they were to pick him, I would be ecstatic about that pick, to be honest with you.
I want to go back really quick to just Zion and what this his presence is going to mean to the city of New Orleans. We all saw what Drew Brees was able to do with the Saints organization, really be that guy that's known there in the city. And I'm guessing this is going to be the same thing, to have a guy like this that is really going to come and bring positive energy, because we know what he does on the court, but he's just as beloved off the court.
I'll tell you right now, yesterday was the first interaction that I had had with Zion Williamson on a professional level and personal level, and it took me no less than a couple minutes to just see the way that he carried himself, to see how he interacted with the media, and just how mature he was, that I was like, this kid's 18 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even 19 until July 6th.
That's crazy.
So when I watched him, I was just like, man, this guy doesn't just scream like face of a franchise based on his skill set, but how he carries himself, he screams face of the NBA here in a couple of years, especially once LeBron James is gone. But you know, I think when it comes to the city of New Orleans, one thing that Anthony Davis never really did and never really was comfortable with, and I'm not just saying this because he's on the way out, he never embraced being the vocal guy and being someone who was comfortable with, like, being around fans in a community setting. And Zion Williamson, from the short interactions that I've had with him, he seems like that kind of guy. Drew Brees is that kind of guy. Alvin Kamara is that kind of guy. Who really enjoy being out in the community, and their personalities match that. I mean, they seem very genuine. And I saw a recent interview with Coach K, who said one of the biggest things that someone, whoever drafts Zion, is going to love about him is that he gets out in the community. And he just, like, completely raved on him. And I've never really seen him do that with many players, but I could see why after having met him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andrew, thanks for joining us. Despite the news about Lonzo Ball, I still am interested in watching the New Orleans Pelicans this season. We really appreciate your time. And listen, I know it's going to be a party in New Orleans for probably like 72 hours after tonight. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Have fun, Andrew.
Thanks, y'all. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right, that's Andrew Doak from WWL-TV, Channel 4 in New Orleans. You know, the only way he sees Darius Garland going to the Pelicans
is if they trade him.
Is if they're going to trade him.
Yeah, so and that makes sense.
And it does. It was a very strong point he brought. And so if Darius gets picked fourth overall, I would sit and then wait to hear if he's on the move. And that's a really good point. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Andrew had to say and about where we are in this NBA draft. Now, Preds fans, join us for the official Nashville Predators NHL draft party presented by Yeehaw Beer tomorrow, June 21st at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard. Win prizes like autographed memorabilia, meet Predators broadcast personalities along with Nash and the energy team. Jared and the GM will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6, followed by Preds insiders from 6 to 7. It's the official Nashville Predators NHL draft party tomorrow, June 21st, at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson sitting in for Darren and Donick on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. My brothers used to blare this. My grade school was about two blocks from my house. I would open the door, and I knew my brothers were home because I could hear the stereo.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'd be playing this and Rush and Zeppelin.
This is your jam.
No, it's not my jam.
This isn't your jam.
It was my brother's jam, my half-brother's jam, and it would just made me not want to go home. And it was nothing against the music. It was just, you know, you're like seven.
Sure.
It's not what you want
to
come
home like
to.
That was like, I made my brother like listen to Tupac and Biggie.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. So how does he feel?
And DMX. He loves it.
He loves it. See, and I have no problem with that song, but... It was traumatizing as a child. Corey Curtis with Kayla Anderson. And we were talking about the NBA draft, which we were going to continue talking about. But now we have received word that the Tampa Bay Rays are not only going to traumatize one city, but two of them.
Yeah. Jeff Passan, breaking news on Twitter, and it's exploded that the Tampa Bay Rays have received MLB's permission to explore becoming a two-city team. So the Tampa Bay area and Montreal, according to ESPN, the sources are telling them, the plan, play early season home games in Tampa and then finish the season in Montreal. Crazy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
Nuts.
You can say, oh, well, we're tapping two fan bases. But my, you know what I always say? Is if you go halfway, you never get to the finish line.
You do not.
And if you're only half committed to two cities, they're going to only half embrace you. And
right.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dead wrong. And the other thing is it's the first step out the door. We all know Tampa hasn't worked since they've gotten there. They just need to go.
And that's the thing. If you're gonna plan on booting them out of the city, let's just rip off the Band-Aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not keep the Band-Aid flapping. And this is keeping the Band-Aid flapping.
It's not, is it flapping? Or is it just like dangling
on? It's dangling
on
with some hairs.
That, yeah, with that last, oh gosh, that's painful.
I know, I hate that.
By that last corner. And you know, like there's that, what's that Twitter handle? MLB to Nashville?
Yes.
I'm just waiting
for
that one.
For them to tweet out?
Yeah.
Corey, can I read this though too?
Yeah,
under
absolutely.
The new plan, the Rays would play in new stadiums in both the Tampa and
Montreal. That's the craziest part to
me. Like, what is going on? Are people taking crazy pills?
I am taking crazy pills. I mean, look, if Tampa's going to build them a new stadium, don't you have to be fully committed to Tampa?
Yes.
I mean, if Tampa wants to get back its investment, then you need the 81 games.
I feel like this is all a ploy just for us to start talking about MLB because it's struggling this year.
You know, MLB is a regional game now.
It is.
It is. I mean, and look, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, in New York, the Yankees are very big. In Boston, the Red Sox are very big. And when the Red Sox and Yankees play, it's very big. It's just not big nationally.
No.
I mean, I'm from Chicago. I like the Cubs. And the Cubs in Chicago are very big.
Not the White Sox.
No, not the White Sox. Never the White Sox. But so, like, in their individual cities. But for some reason, baseball does not have national reach anymore.
No.
Now, the NFL, people will watch the Jets play the Jags.
Yeah.
It has national reach. And the NBA, in a different way, has national reach because I think the NBA has the most recognizable superstars.
Absolutely. They market their players.
Yes. And so people watch for players, and they'll watch nationally for players. Everybody will watch LeBron.
Yeah.
Everybody will watch Zion Williamson this next year. So the NBA is national, and the NFL is national. I also view the NHL as more of a regional sport as well.
It's done a better job in terms of maybe getting interest, but not. It's still not anywhere near the level
Look,
of the NBA and NFL.
That Game 7 in the NHL did like a 5-8 here, which is a look, I never
that's a
dreamed
good number.
That it would be a non-predator game getting a 5-8, and that's a huge step because my view is people in Nashville could care less about NHL outside of the Preds, and that was a huge step forward. Mm-hmm. It really, really was.
Here's the other thing, Corey, that this generation, they like fast pace. They like, I mean, they don't like sitting back and watching a baseball game that takes 4 hours.
See, you say that, but they sit on their phone and they watch other kids play video games.
I know. That's
I don't understand.
But that's, I mean, when it comes to sports, that's how it is.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look, I'm old and things are changing, and I'm trying not to get overwhelmed by it.
Well, I love baseball, so I'm not saying I'm one of those people, but I'm not that young either. So
does anyone think? Okay, first, do you think this will work?
No.
Okay. And number two, do you think it will actually happen?
Ooh, that's a good question.
This is a no and yes, but I love it, though, because it's funny. Because that's the Rays season. Like, that's what it's been. Madness.
You guys, but and think about this, too, though. The Rays aren't even bad, dude. They're, like, competing towards the top right now.
But look,
with
they played in a World Series and couldn't draw.
I know. They had Joe Maddon.
So, I mean, they had more Joe Maddon. I mean, they had David Price.
I know. Yes.
Who was the third baseman they had?
Evan
Longoria.
I covered Evan, in that organization.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've had great players. They've had good teams.
But it's not going to come. They're snowbirds.
It's not working. It's not working. It's time to move on. It's just not working. So Montreal, and there's been talk that Montreal wanted back in.
Yeah.
And so this to me, like, I think it'll happen, and I think it'll happen for a year or two, and then they'll just go to Montreal.
That's what's going to happen. Now, they can't do both, though.
Olympic Stadium was an armpit. It was absolutely horrible. And I don't care what anybody says. Those old Expo uniforms were horrible. Okay, you can try and tell me they were the best, dude. They were not the best. They were horrible. I'm a Cubs fan. The old Cub blue with white pinstripe uniforms were horrible. Okay, there are horrible uniforms for every team. The Expos had them. Yeah. We're not bringing them back.
No.
Okay, but I do think if they make the permanent move to Montreal, they need to change their name.
And we were discussing this. You think every team needs their own identity.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I think every city needs its own identity. Because you don't want another city's secondhand merchandise.
Right.
So like when the Rams went to St. Louis, you still knew it was Los Angeles' team. You just took them. And so like now we're at a point with the Titans where they're the Titans. You know, you don't really talk a whole lot about them being the Oilers.
That's like Oklahoma City if they would have taken the Supersonics.
Yes.
I would have punched people in the face even more.
Yeah.
Than taking our team.
And they changed it to Thunder.
But I respect that part.
And it was the smart thing to do.
Right.
Memphis Grizzlies just doesn't work.
No.
Utah Jazz really doesn't work.
Yeah.
They came from New Orleans.
Yeah.
So
you're really taking us back.
Yeah. They need to change to something else. What that is, I don't know, because I agree. Every team, every city needs its own identity, whether you were a team somewhere else or not. Like, look at Charlotte getting Hornets back. I think that was absolutely the best move. I think it was brilliant. Brilliant. Maybe the one good thing Michael Jordan's done there.
That I relate to.
So,
yep.
That absolutely works. All right, it is 12:58. We've got 1 hour to go here on the show. Coming up next, we're going to talk NHL draft. I am predicting major bombs.
Explosion.
From David Poile tomorrow at the NHL draft.
Dropping bombs.
And I'm not talking about with the pick. I'm talking about before
moves.
The pick is ever made. David Poile is coming in with haymakers, and he's not wearing boxing gloves. He's not even bare knuckling. David Poile's coming in with brass knuckles, okay?
Ready for the KO.
He's knocking out some teeth. He's taking some names, and the Predators are going to have a whole new look. That's my prediction. But we're going to talk to a guy who really knows. That's Robbie Stanley from NHL.com. He's going to join us next here on Darren and Donick. This is Corey Curtis and Kayla Anderson from News 2 sitting in. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.